Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Hi, morning everyone. Morning, happy Mother's Day. It's lovely to be up here. You know, I love coming up here and speaking to you guys. It's one of my happy places, and it's a delight to be able to speak to you this morning on our series on spiritual formation, which is all about how our daily spiritual practices can help form us into the types of people who can stand firm in the trials and the temptations of this life. Now, last week, Adam spoke to us about the importance of the Word of God, getting into our Bibles on a regular basis. And this week, I'm going to talk to you about our daily communication with God, our prayer life. So, as you know, we're basing ourselves in the book of Ephesians for this series, and it's a letter that Paul absolutely saturates in prayer. He himself prays for all the churches in Ephesus in the surrounding area right at the start in chapter 1, that they would know God and his power for all who believe. And then halfway through, there's a really beautiful prayer in chapter 3 where he prays again for all the believers, this beautiful prayer that they would be strengthened in the spirit and rooted in love. And then when he ends, Paul ends in chapter 6 with him asking the churches to pray for him as he, where he is, as a sitting in jail as an ambassador in chains. Prayer for Paul is as fundamental to his faith as breathing is to his life. So what can we learn from him through our scriptures today? We're going to go to Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, the armour of God scriptures that Adam also preached on last week, where Paul gives us instructions how we are to arm ourselves against the devil's schemes. So we're just going to remind ourselves of those scriptures. You'll remember them if you were here last week. So he says, Paul says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Okay, so really well-known verses that deserve really a deep dive all the way through. But, you know, I'm going to explicitly lean into that final verse today about prayer. And we're going to explore this verse with regard to all the important questions about prayer that it answers. Who, why, when, what, how? So, first of all, who should pray and for whom? When it comes to the book of Ephesians, almost every you in the entire letter is plural. You means all of you. Everyone is included in Paul's instructions. The prayers of every single one of us are important. Whether we're young and inexperienced or even seasoned apostles, our prayers are equally powerful and valid. Why? Because it is Christ that qualifies us. James 5:16 tells us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And we accept, through faith, that Christ died for our sin, and it's he, therefore, that qualifies us with this righteousness, not our own good intentions or success or achievements. He qualifies us So all of our prayers are powerful and effective. Okay, so we should all be praying. But this in this scripture, who is Paul asking us to pray for? Let's have it up there. Who is he asking us to pray for? All the Lord's people. All the Lord's people. So let me just demonstrate something for you using the same imagery as Paul uses it in this passage. Okay, take a look at this. So Paul says that we need to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. These Roman soldiers are in a testudo formation. Okay, for the Roman Empire, this was a well-tested defense formation used particularly for sieges. Mark Antony, for example, used it when he was invading Parthia. Now, look at how the soldiers work together to ensure that their shields keep everyone covered from the enemy's arrows. Often the shields would completely overlap. No one is left without coverage. In our spiritual battle against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, no one should be left uncovered by prayer. So we should all be praying, and we should all pray for each other. But why? Well, if we claim to be disciples of Jesus, then we should certainly be doing what he was doing. And did he pray? Boy, did he pray. He had so much to say about prayer. And as Narek was telling us when he last preached on prayer, Jesus showed us how to pray to God as Abba, Baba, Daddy, Dad. Prayer comes out of our relationship with the living God, who is also our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say, if you pray. We cannot follow God if we don't communicate with him. As we know, these verses in Ephesians are all about warfare, spiritual warfare. And in war, communication is key. Okay, let me just ask you a question. Let's have the slide up. Has anyone seen this movie, 1917? Yeah, a few people. Okay, so this movie tracks two soldiers in World War I, and they are taking a message to the front line to call off a doomed offensive attack. If they don't get the message through, 1,600 people will die. Their commander entrusts them, these two guys, with vital, life-saving communication. Communication both saves lives and wins wars. Our commander-in-chief needs to be able to communicate with us, his armies, so the battles we face can be won. He trusts you and me with vital, life-changing, life-saving communication. We call that communication, which is both listening carefully to God and speaking to him, prayer. God chooses to work through us, all of us, in order that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he chooses to do that through our prayer, through speaking and listening to us, because he chooses to make us significant in his plans because of his great love for us. Okay? Your prayer is significant and changes situations and circumstances. God chooses to work through your prayers. Turn to the person next to you and say to them, God chooses to work through my prayers. Uh-huh. That's a truth. That's a truth. That is a truth. Okay, so we all know who should pray. All of us, for all of us, all for one and one for all. We know why we should pray, because our Heavenly Father and Commander-in-Chief chooses to work through our prayers. So now we ask, when should we pray? Let me just put that verse up for you again. When should we pray? Tell me, when should we pray? On all occasions and always, absolutely. So does that mean that we should be locking ourselves away and spending each day in one long quiet time. No, of course not. You know, it does serve us well to spend some time each day with the Lord on our own. Adam last week gave us a 5x5 challenge of spending 5 minutes for 5 days of the week reading the Bible. And I wonder what it would look like if we spent that time also talking to the Lord about what it was that we were reading. We need to foster a good personal relationship, private relationship with the Lord, because he loves to spend quality time with his children. And he loves it when we come to him to chat with him about our day and the things that are on our hearts. But we also need to be adaptable. You know, spending time alone with the Lord trains us to be able to hear his voice and tune into it when we're on the go, going about our daily lives. We need to be prepared to pray in any time, at any place. Indeed, we should be praying at any time and any place. So how can we do that? So I'm just going to give you a few really, really practical tips. And this is teaching grandmothers to suck eggs. I'm really sorry, but these are some real basic things. Firstly, if someone specifically asks you to pray, why not do it there and then? Don't say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and then leave it till later. Do it straight away while the problem's fresh in your mind and the situation's right in front of you. By all means, pray later if the situation stays on your heart. But don't miss an opportunity to do the praying in that moment. Too often, we all know in our own hearts that we might, with very good intentions, say that we're going to pray, and then we forget because life gets in the way. If someone asks you to pray, say yes, and then pray. And you know, I think the same principle also stands with regard to receiving texts asking for prayer. Why not pray straight away if you possibly can? You can pray again later if you feel prompted. I always try to pray for a situation straight away when I receive a text, even if it's a short and direct prayer, just a really short, well-aimed arrow, you know? I may not text that person back straight away, but I may leave that until later. But I know myself too well. If the text or message has been read, I don't always remember to go back to it, you know, because I receive so many communications each day. But obviously, sometimes a particular situation will be brought back to my mind when I sit and spend time with the Lord. And then I have an opportunity to pray again. Why not? And spend a little bit more time over it if I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. Second, get used to praying in the car, praying in the supermarket, praying as you walk down the street. You know, the big three that Adam was speaking about last week phrases it as, pray your thoughts. And it says here, it says, keep it simple, keep it honest, keep it going. And it says this, at its heart, prayer is simply chatting to a God who loves us about the things we care about. There are loads of books out there recommending all different ways to pray, but prayer doesn't have to be complicated. Our lives are full of thoughts, small everyday things, difficult or hurtful situations, or moments of joy and celebration. As our Father, God loves it when we share these things with him. He also loves to help us deal with life well and promises that he's always with us and he always hears us. Our prayer can change us and the situations that we care about. So guys, pray your thoughts, share your everyday thoughts with the Lord, turn your thoughts into prayers. These are at the back, okay? So do pick up one of these if you want to explore more about what we're talking about in this series, which is basically the Bible, reading the Bible, praying, and guarding your heart. So we know who we should pray, who should pray, why we should pray, when we should pray, but what should we actually be praying? So we've just read about praying our thoughts, but are there different types of prayers that we could use in different situations and on different occasions? Well, Paul says that we should pray with all kinds of prayers and requests. Sometimes scholars like to place prayers into categories like thanksgiving, petition, confession, lament, praise, intercession, blessing, and healing. If you did an internet search, you would find 4 different types of prayer, 5 different types of prayer, 10 prayer types, 20 powerful prayers, you know. But remember, as we've just read in the booklet, prayer includes all conversations and communications with God. You know, having said that, we would definitely need to check ourselves if we always found ourselves praying the same sorts of prayer. If we had a good friend, and when they spoke to us, all they ever did was ask us to do stuff for them, even if we were super kind and super loving and super generous, and we really didn't mind doing things for them, we wouldn't really be fostering a healthy and rounded relationship with them if we didn't try to extend that conversation into other things. And it's the same with God. He wants our relationship with him to be authentic and honest and holistic. Some of the most powerful prayers are those that thank and praise God, even in, or should I say particularly, when circumstances are really challenging and praying is really difficult. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In the spiritual realm, prayers of thanks and praise can break down strongholds and bring God's kingdom in. That's why worship is so powerful. It's really worth us all recognizing that prayer isn't just for when we feel full of energy and close to God. When we feel tired or dry or aware of our own sin, prayer is vital, even if it starts with, "God, forgive me," or "fill me afresh with your spirit." It's counterintuitive, just like offering a sacrifice of praise in worship when we're weary and struggling. But these kinds of prayers are not only really helpful, they're also super powerful. In the context of the wider passage here about spiritual warfare, Paul makes it clear that we are up against some powerful earthly and spiritual forces. So with regard to what we should pray, we should certainly be praying against those things. But how on earth do we do that? Well, we start by ensuring that we aren't just praying on earth, but as Paul says in our key verse, in the Spirit. But what does he actually mean? Is this a special type of prayer for advanced Christians? Certainly not. The Holy Spirit is a helper. In John 14, 15, Jesus says he will send an advocate or an helper. The Greek word is parakletos, one who is called to come alongside to help or assist, to add his strength and wisdom. He is there for each one of us to help us in our weakness. Praying in the Spirit is asking the Holy Spirit to come and help us to pray. When we ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray, he's going to come and he's going to do that, whether we're speaking in our mother tongue or in other tongues. And you know, speaking in tongues is something we are going to cover in our next sermon series after Easter, so I'm not going to cover that now. But asking for help acknowledges our weakness and a confidence in God's strength. The Holy Spirit will never abuse his power. God wants to work with us. Remember, he's chosen to work through our prayers. So we need to play an active part in inviting our helper in to help. You know, from time to time, when I'm doing some decorating or house renovations, I may need to move some furniture around. And, you know, I like to work out and I like to try and move the heavy stuff myself, because I like to prove to myself that I'm a strong and independent woman. Maybe it's little woman syndrome, maybe. But Kat will say to me, he'll say, "Oh, will you please just ask me for help?" It's like, you're going to injure yourself if you try and move that stuff by yourself. Just call me and I'll come and help you. And inevitably, if he comes and helps me move a wardrobe or a chest of drawers, it is a whole lot easier than doing it on my own, and honestly, far less likely for me to get injured. You know, the Lord is there to help us with the heavy weight of prayer, particularly in spiritual warfare. If we're struggling to thank and praise God in difficult circumstances, for example, we can ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us to do that. He isn't asking us to come against the devil's schemes, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, all by ourselves and in our own strength and authority. He's not. He wants us to be his soldiers, working with his authority, his armor, his weapons, his strength and power. We can have faith and confidence if we do things his way, we will not fail. So what does it look like to pray with his authority? There's so much that can be said about this, but for today, I just want to give you an easy and practical tip. I just want to speak to you about binding and releasing. A good principle when we're praying in a spiritual warfare situation is to ensure that if we bind something of the enemy or rebuke it, that we also release something of heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 18:18, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So let me give you an example. Say you want to pray for your friend who has terrible fear and anxiety about something. You know that the Lord would want them to be at peace and not a slave to fear. So we would pray against the fear. Fear, you're to be gone in Jesus' name. And we release the resources of heaven. May the Lord's peace beyond understanding be released into your heart and mind in the name of Jesus. And we pray the things that the enemy would use to bind. We pray against the things the enemy would use to bind us, and we release the thing that God provides from heaven. So we replace fear and anxiety with peace, unworthiness with worthiness, melancholy with joy, sickness with health, oppression with freedom, unforgiveness with forgiveness, hopelessness with hope, shame with self-respect, and hatred with love. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to inspire and guide our prayers, listening out for that small voice, that nudge inside our brains. Do you sometimes find yourself randomly thinking about somebody? They just kind of pop into your brain. Pray for them. Send them a text and let them know that you're praying for them. We all need to be alert to what the Lord is saying to us. Paul advises us to be alert and always keep on praying. Let's be listening to our commander-in-chief, to his prompting as to who we should pray for and in what way, when and how we should pray, because he's the one who knows the bigger picture. He's the one with all the plans. The Lord intends good things for this world and the people in it, and he chooses to involve us in bringing his good plans into fruition through our prayers. Okay. So, how is he going to use your prayers today? I'm just going to ask you to stand up, please, if you are able to. And just shut your eyes and focus on the Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come right now? You are our helper. Who has he been putting on your mind today or even this week? Who has he been putting on your mind? What situation has he been putting on your heart? Is there somebody close to you who's had some bad news this week? Holy Spirit, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill our hearts with compassion? Would you give us power for our prayers?
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.